And I am very excited that we can share God's word together this morning. We're going to be in Mark chapter 10, and you can prepare to be there as we think of what God has begun. Last week, we spoke of taking steps of what it is to truly believe that Jesus is the resurrection life. And we said that when Jesus was talking to Martha in John chapter 11, that she had the right, she could say religiously that she believed in Jesus as the resurrection, but it wasn't until Jesus asked her to take a step in a relationship that had died that she really learned to believe. And so we spoke about, as a church family, that to really believe in Jesus is not just to do something in a religious service, it's in my relationships that are most important to me, to really be willing to follow him. And we talked about this image right here. We talked about the idea that to leave the safety of this ground and to get on with Jesus, we talked about this guy, his name was Blondin last week, and the idea of that to believe in Jesus as the resurrection was to take one step at a time in places we really didn't feel like could change in our lives. And we were going to balance the practical and the Holy Spirit's possible all at the same time. And we're just one step at a time, we're going to leave our old attitudes and our old way of doing relationship. And we were going to cling to Jesus in such a way that he could take us and the relationships that are most important to us to a new place that we couldn't imagine getting to. That was the whole idea. And so we had said new life and new victory in relationships requires us to, what's this word here? Believe in Jesus. Don't just believe in Jesus. I hope this relationship gets better. But learn to leave how you used to do things and follow Jesus in a place that seems pretty hard. And let him balance the practical and the supernatural, because he is the resurrection and the life. And when he was speaking to Martha, he was saying, there is a new life for your relationship with your brother. It's not over yet if you will believe in me. And all of us in this room, we've got relationships that seem over, but are very important to us. And we need to learn to believe in Jesus again. And that means we have to leave our old relationship attitudes and patterns. Because in the relationships that are most important to us, we are very quick to see how the other people should change things, right? But we're very slow to see how we need to change. So Jesus is really beginning something new, and yet we have to recognize that there's some new ways to do this new work that God is doing. And so that's what we've been talking about. So last week, literally hundreds of people in our church family that you're a part of now decided to take some next steps. I'm going to trust Jesus. I'm going to believe some of my old ways of doing things. So, since last Sunday you did that, I assume now all of your relationships are perfect and there's nothing more to talk about, right? Show of hands. It's all perfect now, right? No? Oh, okay. You should get up and give the sermon probably is what you should do now. Yeah, no, we made a decision for resurrection life to begin, and that didn't mean everything's perfect, right? Because if we remember Lazarus, the end of the story, Lazarus really comes alive, and Martha really has a new chance to have relationship with Lazarus, but around Lazarus is still all of these old things, old attitude, old storylines, old bitterness, old, they'll never change. They're always like that. Attitudes. Well, I've got to always keep my guard up because. And so the end of the story of Jesus saying, I'm the resurrection, leads to the reality that every day we need to take another step. Resurrection life does not finish the job of a great relationship happening in our lives. Peace really coming in, forgiveness really coming in. And so that's what we're going to look at today. God's new beginnings require us to take off old ideas of what makes a great relationship. Really important this morning, okay? Oh, man, I'm so glad you're doing something in their lives. But we've got some definitions about what a great relationship looks like that need to change. And good news for us, Jesus actually defined what greatness is. We're going to look at it in a second. But I want you to think about this. The world is all about you should have a great life, you should have great relationships, go to the magazine rack at the store, 5 rules for having a great relationship or whatever, yada, 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 okay? But in the end, real greatness, and for the last 10 weeks, we've been saying that your life is only as good as your relationships, right? Jesus promised you an abundant life. That means abundant relationships. Not everybody's going to live at peace with us, but we can have an abundance of life in the way we live out our relationships with other people. So what do you think is great is the question. In this, what does it look like to you to have a great relationship? Well, I've been doing a lot of reading, and this week I was just Googling, great life, things like that. And I ran across an article that talked about 50 great things in life. And if you agree, just show your hand when we come to this one. Number one, a great life is when I discover that I have cash in my pocket that I didn't know was there. Can I get an amen? All right, there you go. How about, and some reason my notes are not following along with the screen, so this should be an adventure for me this morning. How about I wake up, I feel pretty refreshed, and then I realize I still have time to sleep before the alarm gets off. I have no concept of that. That never happens to me. Okay? How about I have found the missing sock. It's going to be a great day. Right? All right? How about I turn on the TV and my favorite movie is starting right now. Right? That's a nice one. That's nice when that happens. And one of my wife's favorites, a completely popped bag of popcorn. Right? Does that ever happen? You know God's in the room when that's like, and I the number one on the list, I have no reference point to this, a good hair day. I mean, for you, yes, I have no concept of that one at all. So it's just what it is. Like all these, oh, that's great. Oh, we use the word great a lot, but what does it really mean? Okay, Jesus defines it in Mark chapter 10. Because interestingly enough, a bunch of disciples are looking at their life and saying, I want to live a great life, and I want to finish life, and I want to feel like I did great things. So they actually come up to Jesus, you're going to read, and they ask Jesus. They have an idea of what will make a great life, and Jesus turns it on its head. And so we're going to look at that together. We're going to talk about growing in greatness, because we're going to discover that as Jesus is doing new resurrected things in our life, we've got some growing to do. All right? So I want you to look at your neighbor right now, and I want you to tell them, I've got a surprise for you. I'm not perfect. Just go ahead and tell them that. It's church. It's a place of confession. It's good for you. Some of you, that was a really important moment. Okay, I'm glad. All right, we've got to do some growing, okay? So we're going to hear about Jesus defining greatness. And it's going to sting a little bit, because we're not going to be all that good at it. But this is where we're in this tightrope relationship where we're going to learn to do some things practically a little better. But what we really need is the Holy Spirit to bring life to this in a brand new way. So let's look at Mark 10. For time's sake, I've kind of put it on the screen. You can follow along in your Bibles. And let's remember, this is God's Word. This is the Holy Spirit. Scripture. This is what the Holy Spirit uses to open our eyes to places we've been blind to in our attitudes and in our life. So just would you just take that moment to get ready for this beautiful gift of God's Word. Mark chapter 10. Then the disciples, James and John, came to Jesus and said, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. I've prayed that prayer a few times. I think God's got to be up there going, really? This is really what you're asking me right now. Last time you did it your way, that didn't go so well. You're really asking me again. And then they ask this. They say, Jesus, let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory. In other words, we want the places of greatest honor. We want to finish up and everybody thinks we're great. Well, if you go down to verse 43, Jesus says to all of them, whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave to all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Lots of people talk about what is great, but Jesus met our greatest need, won our greatest victory, and revealed to us the greatest love ever. If there's one person you want to run with their definition of great, it's his. And so today we're going to look at some hashtag relationship goals, okay? Some things we've got to look a little differently about in what we think a great relationship is about, because Jesus is saying something that is exactly opposite of what the world is telling you and what my sinful nature is telling me. So, Lord Jesus, in these few minutes, please open our eyes to where true life, great joy, a great victory are. Thank you for always being faithful to being our resurrection and our life. And now allow the grave clothes of the old relationships to fall off. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen. Amen. Here's a few simple thoughts about Jesus defining greatness. We've got to take off compromise and grow in, what's that word right there? Conviction. All right? What I mean is most of us compromise to be loved in relationships. Most of us compromise to make a relationship work. But Jesus says that greatness means conviction. Your life and your relationships are only as great as your conviction to keep Jesus first in them. Okay? Jesus uses the word must. That word must means to possess by all means necessary in order to exist. You see, we actually all have a conviction in this room. As different as all of us are and as different as our life is right now, every one of us in this room have one conviction all the same. Oxygen. We are pretty convinced that we cannot do without oxygen. It's a pretty strong conviction in my life. You can offer me $1 billion, but if I can't have oxygen in getting that $1 billion, I'm not interested. You can offer me everything I've ever wanted in life. The most beautiful people, the greatest job. You can offer me power, everything I want. If I don't have oxygen, I'm not interested. Because see, I've got a conviction about oxygen in my life. I am convinced that I have to do everything necessary to have it so I exist. That's conviction. And see, you and I, we live in this world where the idea of tolerance says, no, conviction doesn't lead to great relationships. It's actually the opposite. Now, let's just take a thought about that. Now, here's the right thing about tolerance. Man, please treat people with respect, right? Like, they're still worth as much as you are, whether you agree with them or not. Like, that's, I can get behind that. Let's respect people and treat them being made in the image of God like they are. They're a valuable person, okay? But the wrong part of tolerance is this idea that the best way for us to have a good relationship is you have your truth and I have my truth, and I won't ever bring my truth into the relationship with you. That's a disaster. Our country is in the middle of tolerance, and we've never been more divided, more polarized, and have more of a hate culture than we do now. While everybody's preaching tolerance, okay? Now again, treat people with respect, absolutely. Value their opinion, hear from their story, don't just take your world and impose it on them, yes. But guess what? My conviction and the conviction of the Holy Spirit and the Scriptures, only Jesus brings life to a relationship. And if you want to have a great relationship, it's only going to be as great as the conviction that Jesus stays in the middle of it. Because he's the resurrection life. Now, some people think, that's right, I'm going to get all in everybody's face, and I'm going to tell them how wrong. I was like, that's not what we're talking about. Because last time I checked, Jesus on the cross said, "Forgive them, Father. They don't even know what they're doing." No, know that Jesus. If you bring that Jesus into a relationship, whether they know him or not, whether they agree or not, it's going to be God's going to do great things in that relationship. We have to be people of conviction. Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." That's must. It's got to happen. I've got to have a conviction that Jesus comes before me. I come after Jesus in every relationship. A matter of fact, if putting Jesus first means being last with you, I'll accept that. Because I've got a conviction. I can't exist without him. And as much as I love you and care for you, if I don't bring Jesus into this, this isn't going to go well. I might actually contribute to your lies and make your life worse. Now, what I've got to do is I've got to live in a conviction that I come after Jesus. And every relationship does too. So I'm going to serve like Jesus, forgive like Jesus, be gracious like Jesus, pray like Jesus, speak truth like Jesus. I was just thinking with the shooting in San Diego of another synagogue, and I was just thinking about a month ago or so when there was the shooting at the synagogues. At the mosque in Europe. And my friend, Ahmad Damash, who's the head of the Muslim Coalition for Richmond, sent an email to me, said, "Sean, would you come to our time of mourning as, our community is really shaken right now because it usually stirs up more hate crimes." I said, "Absolutely, Ahmad, I'd come there." Ahmad knows where I stand. He knows exactly. I don't ever talk to Ahmad and not bring Jesus into the middle of it, but I do it Jesus' way. And because of that, there's a chance for Jesus' love to be known in his life. And it's actually my conviction that Jesus is the center that actually gives me a great relationship with him. Although I've got to lead him in understanding, because he always wants to go back to tolerance talk. I'm like, no, Ahmad, there's a real difference there. But I love you, and then I live that out. Every relationship, we've got to get out of compromise because that relationship, that's a tightrope. Okay, I want to love you, but I can't compromise. I can't feed a lie in your life. That would not be loving you. I've just got to cling to Jesus. I've got to be in his word. I've got to have a conviction. I need him every day. Beautiful things can happen there. The conviction is I've got to know Jesus. And every relationship in my life needs to know him. At school, at work, in my neighborhood. Going to make for some awkward moments? Sure, because people they're used to you compromising and watering things down in order to be friends. It's like, no, we can actually keep it real and have a better relationship. That's the conviction. No Jesus means no more compromising to be loved. Can I get an amen for that? Amen. I literally, as both a dad, okay, right now, as a dad and as a pastor, I want this. This is really important. Because I'm telling you what, when you compromise for love, you sign up for a world of hurt. I'm telling you right now, I'm just telling you as a dad right now, don't do that. Love people well. Make some hard moments, but I'm telling you what, you'll be blessed. Number two, take off the as-you-can attitude of life and get consistent about your convictions, okay? It's great to have some convictions, really be good to get consistent about them, right? This idea of Jesus says you must be a servant, he's talking about not occasionally. He's talking about all the time, right? This is a consistent thing. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross. How often? Daily. Right? That's why the center of our church is we're making Jesus the center of what? Everyday life. I love this next quote. It's true in every area of life. Great people do consistently what other people do occasionally. There's not a place in life that's not true. Hey, students, your grades are as consistent as you are, right? I tell my kids all the time, like, you don't got to be the smartest person in the class. You just got to be the most consistent person in the class. Like, study, show up, you know? That's the key. Parents, right? Parenting's all about consistency, because we're all about to be in a service here, and we're going to leave, and then our kids are going to notice how consistent this service is with the rest of our life. Now remember, no condemnation, we're growing, right? We're growing. All right, I got to figure this out a little bit more. But it's consistency. I've shared this in the past. Parenting, it's just about consistency. I've got two teenage daughters and a daughter in her 20s, and my commitment is to be the one who texts them the most. That's a tall order. What am I trying to do, though? I'm trying to consistently tell them I'm the one who's thinking about you the most, who loves you the most, who's praying for you the most, who believes in you the most. That's all I'm doing. Not all that impressive, right? But I'm being consistent. I'm just trying to live a consistent life in the way I say, I'm here for you. That's what kids are looking for. Marriage, when we're in the middle of marriage and it's not going well, what's usually the issue? You say I'm important, but no consistency. You're giving me occasional instead of consistent. So what would be great is instead of just having more arguments about what's going wrong, maybe the next time you're talking about how to grow in your marriage, you could say, what's one thing I could do more consistently for you? That's a great question. Now be careful, because they might explode with joy when you ask that. All right, like, this is going to be the best day ever. That's it. It's just consistency. Employers would love for you to be consistent, right? All my managers and supervisors out there, sure would be nice for someone to be consistent in their responsibilities. Like, consistency is this thing. Everybody wants to be discovered, but nobody wants to be disciplined, right? It's like, now again, we're in this tightrope. I'm not that good at this, but I need to take some practical steps. And Lord Jesus, help me. I need to pray a lot more. Jesus, help me. I want to be different. I'm so stuck in the old things that covered my life. And there's a new call for my life. And so I want to encourage you today. There's a place of consistency for you. I think it was Pastor Brandon who introduced us to the thought that said people overestimate what they can accomplish in 1 year and underestimate what they can accomplish in 3. Consistency can get the job done. Jesus is all about daily. Our church is all about making Jesus the center of everyday life. We want to have a good service. I want you to have a better life than this service. I want you to live out something. Consistency, bringing that. So we need to let the Lord speak to us about that. And so I want you to put these first two points together. When we grow in Jesus-centered conviction and consistency, God's greatness begins to show up in our lives. It just shows up. It just starts to show up, because we're taking the truth of the resurrection and life and we're making it more consistent in our lives. We're going to grow. Remember, we just told each other we're not perfect, but we're going to try to take some steps. So I want to give you a very practical step. Do you know what it looks like to take conviction and consistency and put them together? Here it is. Put it on your calendar. This is when we're going to show up to things. This is important. We're going to do this. Jesus never missed. I mean, he was always in the synagogue on the Sabbath. It was a conviction. I'm going to be with God's people worshiping, hearing God's word together, because he's the king. That's just consistency, right? Now, different stages of life. You got little kids. Pretty hard to be consistent in a few areas, right? That's why we have online. God bless all of you young parents. But I'm telling you what's one thing you could get more consistent about? Go home, put it on your calendar. I will be here then. Do the practical part, and then, Lord Jesus, help me follow through. Help me. You might have to come back and realize you got to do it differently. I want to be consistent. That's pretty hard in this stage of life. Let's do it this way. That's okay. We're growing. It's a growth mindset. We're not looking for perfection, but we're saying, Holy Spirit, come in my life. Bring greatness to me. Make my relationships more the way you have provided a resurrection. I've got to take off some things, though, to make this happen. Well, Pastor Sean, that's totally true, but they need to do this. Well, okay. We all know how that's going to go, right? All right? Love this quote. The best way to work on us is to work on me. Let's all say that together. the best way to work on us is to work on me. Then we let Jesus work on them. All right? Let's do it. Calendars. Oh, I was reading this book, Great by Choice, got super convicted by this. Busy is just another word for lazy. Ooh, I use that word all the time. Ask me how my day is. I'm pretty busy. You're letting the people around you dictate your life instead of doing the hard work of planning and following through. Anything good in this life is uphill. That should be the way. I read that, man. That stepped all over my toes because I use that word all the time. I'm busy. He's like, no, you're lazy. What do you mean? I am not lazy. You know how busy I am? Yeah, no, you're letting everybody think for you. You're letting everybody else decide what you're about. Where are your convictions, Sean? Where are your convictions? It's your responsibility, not them, theirs, to be consistent. Okay, Jesus, more of that. I need a little bit more supernatural because that's pretty hard for me. All right, you still love me after I showed you this? Okay, thank you, everybody. Moving on. All right, number three. We got to take off getting, and we've got to grow in giving. The greatest person to ever walk the earth said, my life is all about serving others. I'm not looking to accumulate. I'm looking to give. Man, it's so important. So let's imagine that I start getting more, I start living by my convictions. I start getting more consistent. But my goal is so my life gets great and I get everything I want. Well, that's not going to work. Because Jesus said that's not greatness. Greatness is when I take my life and I live my convictions consistently so that I can pour out to others. That's a great life. I'll tell you what. I mean, you and I both know it, that a relationship in which I constantly hammer, you need to give me more, never works out. A great relationship is, how can I give to you? You know what a great relationship is? When two people in relationship are focused on giving to each other. That's a great relationship. And Jesus defines it right here. Greatness is serving. Greatness is giving. Well, Pastor Sean, once I start getting, I'll start giving. Mm-mm. That's not where it starts. No. You got to start with, before I get, I'm going to choose to give. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to be a servant of somebody else's ego, right? We talked about this for 8 weeks, that I am an empowered servant in somebody else's life to do God's good in their life. So my question in every relationship is, what good does God want to do in that relationship? Right? So I'm not a servant of somebody else's ego. I was with a girl who had to break up with a guy, and basically the line was, she told him, she said, you know, the reason I have to break up with you is because we're both in love with the same person. I'm in love with you, and you're in love with you. And it's just, that's really well said. That's not going to work. So I'm not serving their ego, but I'm serving God's good in their life. God's good in their life. Greatness is not about being served, but about serving. It's not about gathering, but it's about giving. And great relationships are the same exact way. If I spend my life trying to gather title, money, fame, likes social media-wise, if that's the goal of my life is to gather, I'm wasting my life. Is it wrong to study or prepare or get a solid profession? No, remember, conviction and consistency is a beautiful thing. But I want to do all of it so that maybe I can help somebody else. I can give myself. I love professionals who work so hard, and then what they learn, they turn and mentor somebody else and make it easier for them than they had it. That's living in a Christ-like model of, I did all that work, and now you don't have. I want to help you be blessed. I want you to have the life. That's what this is all about. And in the end, I want you to hear this, you'll only be as great as the cause you give your life to. I mean, you want to get discovered on YouTube or something, that's cool. But you'll only be as great as the cause you give your life to. And see, sometimes people think church and Christianity is kind of, and we talked about this last week a little bit, it's like, okay, help me not to do bad things anymore. It's like, well, you're going to struggle with that all your life. The Holy Spirit's going to do amazing things. You've got to keep growing and dying to the old and living in the new. But instead of thinking that I come to church and I go to classes or I do things because now that I believe I need to stop getting in trouble, how about now that I believe I need to get into the greatness God had planned for me? How about that? And what would happen if a church was like that? It's like, we're about making sure you live out the great plans. Well, are we just worshiping people and self-fulfilling? No, no. I mean, Jesus said, the whole world will know who you are by the way you love each other. If you have a great relationship, Jesus-centered relationship, you're going to give glory to God. If a church is about, let's help show the practical love of Jesus to our community in different ways, that's about Him. That's not about us. And so we want to do that. The key way, once you go from, I believe in Jesus and I want to begin to change, I want to grow, that's why it's called Keep Growing, everybody. All right? It's going on right now. It's going on right now. All right? What we want to do every Sunday, 10:45, room 111, we want to take you from the idea of this is where I'm living to here are the tools, here's what our church does to help you discover the great plans for your life. That is not a line. That is the call to disciple. And we want to encourage you to take that step. A matter of fact, we showed a testimony of Tyshawn and Jasmine last week as they were talking about believing in Jesus. I wanted to show you a quick testimony of one of our young moms and going to Keep Growing in order to connect to what the great cause that is for her. So here it is.
Keep Growing helped to connect me to my purpose because God began to stir in my heart this desire to see people with disabilities more included in the church as a whole. I used to be a special ed teacher before I stayed at home with my son Cohen, and I've always had this passion for serving them and helping them to live their best lives. And Cornerstone just happens to be one of the only churches that has a disability ministry in the area. And we provide a space for these kids with different disabilities to come. One thing led to another, and now I help co-lead our special needs ministry with Todd and Shelley Howell. And God is doing really cool things already. We've got big dreams for how we want to help connect this unreached people group and to make the gospel more accessible to them. I feel more connected to God, I think, because I feel more connected to His church and His people, and that His purpose for my life and growing His kingdom feels more defined. I need to make sure that I'm in His Word and that I'm praying about direction and that I never stop growing.
Yeah. Yeah, amen. That's what we want. Praise the Lord. So real quick, what I think makes a great church is, can you imagine walking in the doors of our building and there's a little bit of everybody in the foyer? Maybe a family with a child from special needs is greeting you at the door. As you walk in, you hear some people talking in Spanish and some in English. See a little sign language going on over there. See grandparents with kids. That's my picture of a great church. Great church. And people like Alyssa with our special needs ministry. Because since when is Jesus promises only good for people with certain physical abilities? Like, absolutely not. It's for everybody. And that diversity can be in us. But we've all got to keep growing in Jesus-centered conviction, consistency, and giving. That's what our church is all about. We're going to stay Jesus-centered. Not one language, not one generation, not one passion is going to be the center of our church. It's always going to be Jesus. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we want to follow Him. We want to follow what He does. So I was pretty much finished with the message, and I felt like, all right, you know, and I'll just close there. Come on, guys, go to Keep Growing. You know, it'll be great. And the Lord just stopped me and said, Sean, read the passage one more time. And I read it one more time. So what do you notice? I said, Who's the you? You must be. The disciples. It's like, which one? Well, you know, I don't know, all of them, I guess. Yeah, all of them. Sean, that you there, that's not singular. That's plural. That's about people together. I'm like, okay, Lord. And then literally, I just felt like the Lord was saying, look, people have to stop isolating in old relationships, and we got to start growing in Jesus-centered community. And then the Lord began to unpack something I've seen a lot. It's like, hey, you need to take some new steps. You need to have relationships. Like, oh, I got plenty. It's like, yeah, but I think God's grace is about next steps and it's about new relationship. And here's what the Lord said. I think this is a word of the Lord. Get ready for it, okay? The great irony of life, the reason our old relationships never get better is because they're the only ones we have. Whoa. Felt like the Lord said, Sean, relationships, Jesus-centered relationships are always a source of grace. You know what? If you've got a resurrection experience going on in a relationship that is death, is life-taking from you, you better find a relationship that's life-giving to you in the middle of it. And it just began to really show me, because we're like, oh, I got relationships. I know five people at church. It's like, okay, for how long? When's the last time you learned to build a relationship with someone new? Because, okay, all right, so confession time, and I think you're probably like me, because in the end it's like, Pastor Sean, I'm in the middle of service. God speaks to my heart. I'm absolute yes. But then you tell me I have to walk across and go meet a bunch of new people in a different place. I'm not interested. Oh, yeah, amen. All by myself, I feel inspired. But I'm not showing up to that next discipleship class. Thank you very much. Right? We think like that, don't we? Okay? I get it. I think like that. And yet, it's keeping us. It's keeping us. There's some new relationships we've got to build. All my introverts in the room, I'm not interested in meeting someone new, Pastor Sean. Thank you very much. You know, it's like I'm already trying to handle the relationship I got. Hey, you've got to take those steps. So we're getting ready for Easter, and the Lord, the Lord's given me this word. And again, would you hear this word? I think it's from the Lord for you and me today. And the Lord reminds me, last Saturday, we're getting ready for Easter, so we're making the grounds all nice and making sure everything looks good. And if you notice and look up, guess what's missing from the top of our sanctuary ceiling? The balloon. All right? Now, for those of you who are with us only a little time, you need to hear the history of the balloon. Because there is one balloon at Cornerstone. This helium balloon got trapped up there 17 months ago. 17 months ago. And stays there. And it kind of became the balloon. It was almost like a reminder that the Holy Spirit is with us. I don't know what it was. And the reason the balloon stayed there for 17 months is because it cost $1,400 to rent a lift that would go that high to get it down. And I would really like the balloon not to be there, but I don't want it that much, all right? So for 17 months, the balloon has been right up there. And every time you worship the Lord, you're like, oh, there's the balloon again. Why don't they ever take that thing down? Right. So very cool. This past year, someone new came into our church family, my life. His name is Zach Alveston, and he had a super cool testimony how he came to Christ this past year. Big, big moment, right? And Zach is a firefighter and also does emergency rescue. And he was in the service, worshiping the Lord, running into the balloon, like all of us. I said, hey, Pastor Shaw, he said after service, hey, you want me to get rid of that balloon for you? I'm like, I would love for you to get rid of that balloon. How are you going to do it? He said, if I get a rope up there, I'll climb up there. It's 35 feet up. He said, piece of cake. I'm like, really? He said, yeah, I just got to get a rope up there. I can climb up there. So for the past like 4 or 5 months, we've been talking about getting this balloon down. So it's coming up to Easter. We run into each other, and he brings up, he's like, hey, I'd really like to get that balloon down for Easter. I'm like, that'd be awesome. So the day before Easter, right, him and Stephen Allen have been talking about it, and he says, come out. And so I tell my son, Caleb, I'm like, Caleb, let's go see this happen. This is going to be fun. So we come here. Well, nothing has happened when I get here. And the reason nothing has happened is because they got to get the first rope up there. And I'm like, why haven't you done it? He said, well, here's the deal, Sean. You got to take this sack, this ball kind of, you know, sack, hacky sack type of thing. It's tied to this yellow rope, and you got to chuck it up there and get it over a post, and then from there I'll get my other rope there. The only problem is we keep looking at every angle. There's a possibility of hitting one of these chandeliers on the way up and on the way down. And none of us, and we don't want to do it, so we've decided that, this is literally what they said to me, you've got to be the one to throw it. Literally. This literally happened last Saturday, two Saturdays ago. Here you go. First shot. Thank you. I'll be here all week. Okay. I was really proud of that throw. That was a tough throw. So we throw it up there, and then Zach gets in his climbing gear. All right? And here's what I want you to see. You can't see too well. Zach is basically, he's got what he calls three safeties on this rope. He's got one on his foot. He's got one, I'm not sure how it all works in the middle, and he's got one up top. And literally the way he climbed 35 feet in the air is what he would do was he would stand on the foot one, and then he would take the top one, raise it up, and then he would take the bottom one, put it up, and then stand on it again, and did this all the way up. So here's the interesting thing. He gets up there and takes the balloon down in 2 seconds, right? But if you were watching his whole preparation, it took probably like 8 minutes for him to get up. He took 25 minutes practicing getting down before he went up. Because it wasn't the up that was worrying him. It was coming down that was worrying him, right? And he had to figure out how he was going to go from all these safeties to letting all these safeties go in order to get down. Here's the video of what happened. Listen to what he says coming up.
And he's still hold. Coming off last safety.
Coming off last safety.
Now watch, it keeps going.
All right. Coming off lock one.
Yeah. I was thinking insurance, insurance, insurance.
Do it. That's awesome. Hey.
I present to you the non-balloon ceiling. Now, here is what I loved about that. The moment I heard him say, coming off left safety, I was like, oh, that's totally going in the sermon. Because you and I, we've been taught by this world, get higher, get higher, get higher. Matter of fact, we spent a long time getting above. They're not going to win. I'll be better than them. That's not going to be the last word. We go all the way up there. And then we hear this word for Jesus that says, what's really being great is not being so high up. It's being down low. And you know what all of a sudden we've got to do? We've got to take off some safeties. Because we ain't getting down if we don't do it. Well, Pastor Sean, it's really safe to be in the middle of Sunday morning service. You're telling me I should go to keep growing and spend a little time with some new people, inviting me and maybe challenging me to do some more things? Last safety off, right? That could be maybe, I don't know, a little jolting, or maybe the way Jesus, not Pastor Sean, any church denomination or religion, Jesus, who said that we should fulfill all righteousness by when we believe we should be water baptized, right? And to be water baptized is to go under the water as a sign of leaving, believing, burying the old life, and then coming out of the water is our declaration that we believe we're living in the resurrection life of Jesus, just like Jesus came from the grave, so are. Do you mean you want me to do that? Safety off. Safety off. Well, maybe you've gone to keep growing, and maybe you've been water baptized, but you're still, your life is only as great as the cause you're giving it to, and there are eternal things you can be doing, and maybe you've not you went to Keep Growing, but and you kind of talked about a Sunday team and where can I serve and where can I make a difference, but you've not really acted on it. And it's like, well, you know, it's a little complicated, it's a little busy, and what if I have to, you know, that might get a little awkward if I can't do it once I say yes. Safety off. Because Jesus said, whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be the slave to all. I've spent so much time getting up here. Yep, probably going to be a little jarring when you come off with all those old locks. But safety off. Come on. Come to the next spot. Come on down a little bit. Come and serve a little bit more. Come and say yes to, okay, I'm taking that next step. And I want to encourage you today. Remember we talked about knowing Jesus is this balance between the practical and the supernatural. And pray. But you probably should just fill out this connection card and say, I want to be water baptized, or I need to go to Keep Growing. You know, send me the information. I'd like to find a place. I don't know where to serve. I don't, like, what could I do? Well, believe it or not, there's a bunch that could change somebody's life that you could do. Because in the end, the greatest cause of all is the gospel of Jesus Christ into every person, every family, and every community. So you can be a part of that. Some of you here today, maybe, I tell you what, it's really, we talked last week about being a C, about considering Jesus. Super good that you're doing that. Not throwing any shade your way, but I would say at some point you got to take the safety off and say, I'm yours, Jesus. And maybe that's you today. Maybe it's time to take the safety off, say, Jesus, I want to know you. I just, lead me on. I don't know how I'm going to do this, but lead me. I need you more than I need me. You come first. So I'm going to ask, would you just bow your heads for a moment, and we're just going to finish up with a moment of practical decision. And if you're here this morning and you would like to take the safety, the sense of your own control off of moving to that place where you join Jesus and becoming a servant, putting him above you, and you've been to church or you've heard a lot, but today's the day of decision for you. Boy, I feel like the Holy Spirit's here in a really powerful way today, and this is just about being a real person. If you're here today and you want to make that decision, say, Jesus, I want to give you my life, and I want to take the safeties, my own control off of where I've got to go. I'm just going to ask you right now if you'd raise a hand and say, here's my practical decision. Amen. Someone else? Praise the Lord. Anybody else need to make that decision? Any student need to make that decision today? So, Lord, we just thank you for this decision today. Lord, thank you for the call to, Lord, I'm letting you lead. I'm taking off my control and I'm going to follow after you. I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to pick up my cross daily and just follow you. Lord, we just thank you for forgiveness of sins and new beginnings now. And Lord, for each person here, would you lead them in taking, not just deciding, but taking the next step, following through, putting it on the calendar, making a commitment. And as they do that, take that practical step and balance it out with supernatural joy, victory, grace, provision, peace, love, wisdom, like never before. I thank you for this church family. May we all grow closer to you and one another, from the person who's been here 2 weeks to the person who's been here every step of our 40-year journey. Make us what you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen.